7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz. Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back again, and I am with Tim and Tom. Guys, how's it going? Week 3 is now in the books.
Best week of the season so far. It was extremely exciting. Tons of great shit going on in the NFL. I'm pumped.
It was a fantastic weekend. Crazy upsets. And we beat the 8-Bit Bros.
Let's start off with the Thursday night game, which I think it's fair to say everyone and their mothers thought this Thursday night game was going to be horrendous. And lo and behold, after the first, quarter and a half, you know, it gets pretty exciting. And the final score, yes, 41-39, the Rams end up pulling off the win. And the game, in my opinion, I watched the whole thing in its entirety, and it was probably one of the most exciting games ever. Not just one of the Thursday night games, but exciting game I've ever seen.
I was packing up. My family and I went to Chattanooga, Tennessee over the weekend. I was packing up, and I was like, oh, whatever, I'll turn it on. Like you said, Josh, figuring it's going to be a horseshit game, but whatever. And it was amazing. Most points scored ever in a Thursday night football game. Amazing. Awesome. Super fun game. An onside kick. Late, you thought that the Niners were going to come back, get the win. Didn't actually play out that way, but just fantastic. Fun all around. It's always games like this that you think may, you know, suck, turn out to be a hidden gem, and this surely was.
Two up-and-coming head coaches in this game, but I was really impressed with Sean McVay. 32 years old, first-time head coach. And he's changed this team. He's changed the culture for the Rams. He's made Jared Goff look like an actual NFL quarterback. Todd Gurley looks like that franchise running back. And Aaron Donald deserves to be paid. He ended this game, got that late sack.
Yep. But
that dude, best defender in the game right now in my eyes.
Yeah, just a ton of highlight reel plays. And if I had a dollar for how many times I heard about, I know we had one in our personal league, about the Todd Gurley explosion. He should have had 5 touchdowns.
Yeah.
He only had 3 only. But if I had a dollar for every time I heard that, oh, I had Todd Gurley, he blew up, I thought I was going to win, and then I ended up losing having Todd Gurley, I'd be a millionaire. Fantastic game. I absolutely loved it.
What'd you guys think of Pierre Garçon on the other side and also Carlos Hyde? Pretty good games.
Both of them good games. Garçon, he's doing what we expected to do.
He can catch the ball. He does not drop it.
Only had 1 drop last year, led the NFL, fewest or best catch percentage in the NFL. And Hyde looks good. I'm a big hater on him. I still don't expect him to play all year. If Joe Williams was healthy, he'd be taking them touches away, baby. I'm still on that train.
No, Hyde looks great. Pierre Garçon, that deep ball that he caught in the 4th quarter.
On the left hand side of the
field. Left hashes. I mean, and that back end of the ball by his fingertips, that was dirty. That was so dirty.
That Jeremy Curley catch was pretty impressive as well.
Best catch Curley, of the night was Watkins.
I'm sorry, not Curley. It was, who was it? God, little guy, drawing a blank. Marquise Goodwin.
Okay.
That guy. That was a great catch. Yeah. Watson's catch, I didn't see Watkins' catch.
It was pretty much like a Willie Mays catch.
Yeah. Oh, the basket. Yeah. How could I forget?
Yeah, it was supposed to go left, and then he saw it, came back right, and just ended up right underneath it. Sammy Watkins looked fantastic before he inevitably died in the 4th quarter as well. His health is still – it was just a fun game. And that, I'm a big fan of division games like this, even if it's bad teams. Division games are always fun, so we should have probably expected a little bit more.
NFL needed this game.
For sure. For sure.
Well, they needed that game, and they went right into the Baltimore Ravens versus the Jacksonville Jaguars in London, a final score of 44-7 for Jacksonville winning this game.
It was that typical London game where everything was kind of just crazy. Joe Flacco had the worst career start of his life. Ryan Mallett came and in the fourth quarter started playing, and he was the leading passer with 36 yards for the Ravens. Absolutely disgusting performance by the Ravens. And if you're a Jacksonville fan, this is beginning to be a home game for them. 5 years in a row, going to London, they're getting used to it.
At this point in time, do you just request every single year that we're the Jaguars, we want a home game in London?
Yeah, they don't have any fans anyway. Sure. Listen, for as great as Thursday night was for the NFL, Sunday morning just was exactly what we thought Sunday morning would be. Harbaugh came out afterwards, said the Ravens will never play in London ever again. He's not the first coach or franchise to say that. It's bad. Teams hate doing it. The only way I think teams should have to do it going forward, they should set it up that every team playing in London is on a Thursday night the week before or a bye.
Correct.
That's how they should set it up. Yeah. One team's on a bye, one team's on a Thursday night, and they get a long time to prepare. That's it. It just doesn't make sense to have them have to go out and do this. Listen, the Ravens were dominant in their first two games. Dominant. This trip obviously affects them. And I can't say it wouldn't affect me playing a game 3 hours earlier than you would normally in a faraway land. I mean, who the hell knows what the environment was like? I don't know. I just hate it. It's on Yahoo. I hate that.
I didn't mind it.
I hate it. I think it's dumb. Why? You can't find someone on television to play the fucking game?
Probably not.
It's stupid. No, that's not true. Anyone would play the game. I think it's obnoxious the way that they set it up. I don't like these London games. I'm not looking forward to it this weekend.
Let me tell you my Sunday. I woke up, I think it was like 8:27. I'm like, oh my God, football's on. Jumped out of bed, turned my phone on, put it on Yahoo, and I was just pretty much disappointed by watching what I was watching. So I was
Yahoo is essentially like the Ask Jeeves.
I wasn't upset with Yahoo.
No, you should
be. I was upset with the game.
Yep.
My question is with you guys for the Baltimore Ravens. They had a very weak week three here.
Yep.
Not very many viable fantasy options. Alex Collins, nobody should be starting him.
Nope.
Do we see Buck Allen really the guy from here on out?
In PPR formats, he's a probably low-end running back two for me right now and should be started.
I'll just go out and throw my example out there. We are non-PPR this year. I have Isaiah Crowell. I have Buck Allen. It's a toss-up going into this week. You know, when you have guys, Crowell's got a tough matchup against a very stout, as bad as Cincinnati has been, much better this week, obviously, but a stout Bengals defense. I believe they're sixth in rush defense in standard leagues. It's going to be hard for me to start Isaiah Crowell over Buck Allen. You have to look at it. There's a lot of upside there. He's not running the ball particularly well, but he does catch the ball out of the backfield. Kind of reminds me of a Giovanni Bernard from a couple of years ago. We'll see.
Other side of the ball, Blake Bortles threw for 4 touchdowns.
Fucking
thoughts on Blake Bortles here.
Fucking Blake Bortles. That's all I can say. Fucking Blake Bortles. I mean, I was more happy to see Leonard Fournette, the very best running back in this rookie class, like I've told Josh numerous times. Another touchdown for him. But you had Mercedes Lewis, 3 tutties.
Terrible.
How the hell does 4 receptions, 3 touchdowns? What the hell happened? If you need a tight end this week, don't pick up Mercedes Lewis. He's the number one on all the tight end boards now because he had a big week. Don't do it. Allen Hurns, he had a touchdown. Wouldn't be surprised. He's a good back end third wide receiver or flex position. I still wouldn't hate that. But the Jaguars are going to be the Jaguars still at times this year. So don't be surprised if this was a typical just Blake Bortles performance.
Don't get tricked by Blake Bortles. He didn't become good all of a sudden. He still sucks. Don't be starting him. Don't be picking him up off the waiver wire.
Next up, let's go ahead and move on to the Denver Broncos going to the Buffalo Bills. And Buffalo ends up winning this game 26-16.
Horseshit. Horseshit, Tom. Go ahead. I'll let you talk, and then I'm just going to say horseshit again.
The Broncos looked like they were probably one of the best teams in the NFL after their dominant performance week two. Trevor Siemian, looked like that superstar-level quarterback. And then they kind of came back to earth. Week three performance of Simeon kind of looked like last year. Just average Broncos. They had to throw the football 40 times against the Bills and only rushed it 23 times. That's not good Bronco football. They're not going to be winning tons of games when they have to do that. But big props to the Bills. They played turnover-free football. They controlled the clock. They were able to run the football, and they won the turnover battle. They're going to win. When you do that, when you win all three of those, you're going to win a lot of football games.
That's not the story of the game, Tom. The story of the game is bullshit. Von Miller goes out there, sacks the quarterback, Tyrod Taylor, goes, puts out his hand to say, "Let me help you up, young man." And then gives the old Bart Simpson hand but through the hair. Sick! And what happens? He gets a flag. How the fuck is that taunting? It's not. That's not. He didn't say, "Hey, suck it." He didn't do any
could
of
you
that.
Could you imagine a player just crotch shot?
I could imagine a player doing that. But he didn't do it. There's nothing saying that you have to help someone up. There's nothing saying that you have to be...
But it looks bad if you're extending a hand.
But
Tim, fall on the ground. I'm going to extend my hand and be like, oh, psych.
It's
you know
taunting.
What's going to happen? You're going to be like, that mother trucker.
It's not taunting. For all you know what? Von Miller probably tackled him, got up. You know, he's been in the league for a while, probably a little concussed. Turned around, he's like, oh, I'm going to help my boy up. Oh, wait a minute, you're not on my team. He pulled away just nicely, started walking away. 15. No, sir.
Good call.
That's not a penalty. That's not a penalty. Numerous refs, numerous crew chiefs outside of the game said that that's not a 15-yard penalty. There's nothing obligating you to help someone up after you just sacked their ass. It's a terrible call. The Broncos then would have went on, won that game. Von Miller was hosed. The Broncos were hosed. All of America was hosed. Stupid call.
It's taunting.
No, yes, it's not taunting.
It is.
If he would have put his hand out and then said, psych, and put out a middle finger, that's taunting.
No, it's
that's
not.
That's taunting.
Well, yeah, it is.
That is.
So is pulling your hand
out. That's taunting.
Back.
Putting your hand out and then going, oh, wait, you're not on my team. That's not taunting.
That is not what he did.
Do you know what he said?
That's
do you
not
know
what
he said? Did he say anything? Did the ref come out and say afterwards and say, oh, well, he said, never mind, fuck you, homo. No, he didn't say that stuff. All he did was pull his hand away. He didn't taunt. He just realized that he didn't want to help up a quarterback.
Next game, Steelers versus the Bears going to Chicago. Chicago wins this game in OT. 23-17, Jordan Howard leaves the field 7 times. At least, maybe even more. Did you guys watch that game?
No.
I watched the game, the whole game. And he left the field because it was his right arm, right? The same one that he had in the sling.
Yeah.
And he came off the field, went back, next play, got hit again, came off the field, went back in, ran the ball to the left, had to spin outward so he could put his left shoulder into a defender, even though he's running to the left, and he still came out of the game. And then he came out again, and then he scored the game-winning touchdown, which is absolutely ridiculous.
That shouldn't have been a touchdown. That should have been a holding penalty on the receiver. But anyways, the Bears won. For me, though, this game, the Steelers, they're not looking like they're that good of a team right now. I was expecting them to be a little more dominant at the beginning of the season. We've seen them struggle going on the road in the past, and they've had 2 road games so far. So I can understand what is going on with them right now, though, but they need to get better at running the football. Le'Veon Bell still hasn't looked like the Le'Veon Bell last year. The holdout, in my opinion, has hurt him. And the Bills on the other hand, or the Bears on the other hand, 38 rushing attempts, 220 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 5.8 yards per carry. If the Bears want to win football games, they're gonna have to run the football like they did Sunday.
Guys, this game was potentially the worst game of the whole NFL year. This game is just trash. You know when you go, and none of us know right now because we're all in relationships, but for those of you who aren't, when you go, you get a Tinder match, and she's kind of ugly, and you just go and get drunk, both of you, and just run amok on the town? That's what this game was. The field, atrocious. The play, atrocious. Mike Glennon did not throw a ball over 10 yards out of all of his completions. He was terrible. God-awful. Jordan Howard, like you said, Josh, literally being held together by super glue and duct tape, trying to make sure he stays in the game. What the hell is the guy's name? Marcus Cooper. The worst play I have ever seen in NFL football. That was bad. And then Okie Dokes, your name's Marcus Cooper. Your mother's never even heard of you before. And you go and Okie Doke into the end zone, get the ball stripped, and cost your team 4 points that should have cost you the game. And then on top of that, the officials go out and make a shit call against your boy, Tariq Cohen. Jordan Howard shouldn't have had the winning touchdown because Tariq Cohen should have won the game for him. That was blatantly a touchdown. There was grass between his foot, and I despise him anyway. Ben Roethlisberger, and that is even on top of the fact that the Steelers and Mike Tomlin, that fucking schmuck, had everyone in the locker room except Villanueva, and then they wanted to tell him that there's no I in team, that the veteran that has served tours for this country did the wrong thing by going and standing in the tunnel and putting his hand on his heart. I don't care if you want to kneel. I don't care if you want to put your hand on your heart. But to criticize anyone, it was an African-American coach criticizing a white player. I just want you to think
he's Hispanic.
Regardless, and that's not my point, is if it was the other way around, if it was a Hispanic coach or if it was a white coach criticizing an African-American player for kneeling, the coaches never criticized Kaepernick for that. If that would have happened, this whole country would have blown up. Stop criticizing people for doing what they think is right. Do whatever you want. I'm tired of all of this. Everyone, do whatever you want. The NFL is a joke with all these owners coming out and pretending like they care. It's all a big freaking gimmick. It's a joke. Leave it alone.
Arthur Blank cares.
No, he doesn't.
I think he does. Let's stick with the Steelers here, Tom. Roethlisberger, 235 and a touchdown. Obviously, he's not the same while on the road.
The last 3 years, his numbers drastically drop when he's on the road. I really don't understand the difference. Like, when a quarterback with Drew Brees, how he's playing indoors, you could see it. But Pittsburgh, they play outdoors, and he Big Ben struggles anywhere on the road. It's mind-boggling. I don't get it.
Martavis Bryant is getting a ton of targets, yep. 8 targets this game, but only 2 catches for 30 yards. Thoughts on him and his slump right now? He had a good game last week.
Yeah, a little rusty. Should have had a touchdown, but there was also a couple errant throws where if the throw was better, he would have had the touchdown. I believe there was 2 of those red zone looks where he had the defender beat, but we'll see.
People want to criticize multiple things. The Bears field here is the bigger reason.
It's terrible.
It's awful. It's garbage. The Bears showed that they played on a real field, and they got smoked in Tampa.
Is that an advantage for the Bears on how crappy their field is?
Yeah. Well, apparently, because they know the ins and the outs of it. People are going to continue to give Big Ben, crap for this, and maybe deservedly so. But at the same point, like you mentioned, Le'Veon Bell does not look right. This is on Le'Veon Bell, in my opinion. He should have, and it just didn't have Big Ben he's getting pressured the way that he was. So I want them to continue. Honestly, I'll let the Bears get an 0-3, get those draft numbers.
Falcons going to the Lions. Matt Ryan throws for 2 touchdowns, though. That's the big key number. 1 touchdown. Stafford for 2. Much else going on in the rushing game. But game. How ridiculous is officiating and these rules that the NFL does have?
I just went off on the officials for this last play with the Bears-Steelers game. One of our friends in our group message was bitching about the officials. They didn't do anything wrong.
Nope.
He didn't score. He didn't cross the goal line. They didn't have timeouts. That's the end of the game. There's no debate here. Those are the rules. Everyone knows those rules. Everyone, shame on the announcers, in my opinion, for not knowing that prior. Listen, does it suck? Absolutely it does, especially the way it played out. And I loved it, being a Bears fan. I hate pretty much everyone from Detroit and all Lions fans. And they were so excited. The place was rocking. It was loud. Everyone was so pumped. Tate was on the sideline. And then you saw a little bit closer. He was at least a half a yard short of the goal line. It is what it is. Sorry. Either manage your timeouts better or get in the end zone. That's it.
I feel bad for the Lions, their fans. This is the third or fourth time they've lost on a crazy play like this in the past, like, 15 years. And there was that Megatron catch against the Bears, which was a catch.
It was.
And there was another play where Megatron fumbled into the end zone.
Yep.
And Bobby Wagner, I believe, hit it out of the end zone. But crazy shit happens to the Lions.
But this is always the Lions of fourth quarter comebacks. Yep. They lead the league in fourth quarter comebacks over the last, like, 4 or 5 years. They always do this. You want to know what will help prevent this? Lead the GD game in the fourth quarter.
They're not good at that.
I know. And listen, I was cheering for the Lions, actually, to be perfectly honest. I picked them in our pick'em. I picked that upset. And it didn't happen. It didn't play out. The Falcons get the win. The Falcons seem to be, you guys aren't big hockey fans, but a lot of times in hockey, you know, it's just whatever way, they always say, well, the puck bounces, people get the right bounces. The Falcons this year, in all three of their wins, just seem to be getting the right bounces. Things just seem to be going their way. So props to them, and any Lions fan who wants to complain, shut up. Just shut up. There's nothing to complain about. He didn't cross the goal line. He was down. Those are the rules. Get over it.
Moving on, we have the Cleveland Browns going to the Indianapolis Colts. And Tom, your team, the Colts, win 31-28, and some pretty good play by both quarterbacks, even though Kaiser did throw 3 interceptions, still threw for 2 touchdowns, and he also ran for a touchdown, 7 rushes, 44 yards. And on the other side, Jacoby Brissett, 243 and a touchdown, ran for 2 touchdowns.
It was an interesting game. Browns, pretty crappy. They were favored on the road, which I was a little shocked by. But the Colts, the first half Colts looked good. Their offense looked elite. They looked like an Andrew Luck-type offense. Second half, they kind of just played kind of scared. They were just running the ball, being very conservative. But Brissett, he's a real NFL quarterback. Made a few excellent passes that Scott Tolzien can't make. Good to see T.Y. Hilton finally come alive. He had a 61-yard touchdown pass. T.Y. finally looked like T.Y. Hilton out there. The defense, impressed with them. Doing very good at run defense. 6th in the league right now, giving up 3.3 yards per carry. And 8th in the league, 85 yards per game. And a fun fact, Malik Hooker has never started a game where he hasn't gotten an interception. It's 2 so far this year.
That is a fun fact, Tom. And I love Malik Hooker. But I just want to say, I don't understand how I don't care if you're a young quarterback, a veteran quarterback, coming into these situations when the star quarterback or a starting quarterback is out and you have a star wide receiver. I think back to last year with Houston when the Brosweiler came in and DeAndre Hopkins went to shit. And then when Tolzien came in and T.Y. Hilton went to shit. And Jacoby Brissett this week was finally like, oh, what's that? I have Eugene? Oh, I should probably throw him the ball. 7 receptions, 153 yards, and a touchdown. If you are coming in and you are not the guy, you better make sure to be getting your star wide receiver his looks. Whether you're converting or not, just get him his looks. And it paid off for the Colts. The Colts look fantastic. Brissett, this is my favorite part. We talked about it pre-show. Brissett comes out there, puts up a decent game, a manageable game, a game that you want to see from a backup young quarterback. And guess what? Now, miraculously, there's a chance that Andrew Luck's going to be practicing this week. You don't say. My goodness. It all must be a coincidence.
When do you think we do see Andrew Luck, Tom?
Week 5.
Maybe 5 or 6. Got San Francisco week 5, week 6, a Monday night game against division rival Tennessee Titans, so it'd be a big game to get him back for, but we'll see.
When's their bye week?
11, I believe.
Oh.
A little later.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the next game. We have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers getting shellacked by the Minnesota Vikings.
I loved this game. I said last week that this would happen, and I wasn't able to watch much football this weekend live, so when I was looking at my phone I was like, oh, man, Josh is crying at home right now, bawling his eyes out like the little bitch that he is. And it was fantastic. Josh, did you cry?
No.
You're a liar.
Didn't.
If Case Keenum played the Buccaneers every week, he would be a Pro Bowl quarterback. Last season, he killed the Bucs with the Rams.
I was going to say, hasn't he played the Bucs?
I think three times.
Three times, right?
Yeah.
He killed them every single time.
Yeah, it's absolutely unreal. Back-to-back years, though, almost a perfect quarterback rating this week. But
I just write that off to history and luck.
completely luck. Yeah. But if you're a Vikings fan, you have to be happy with Dalvin Cook and Stephon Diggs in this game. Two young playmakers who got it done with not a good quarterback. Case Keenum is not the guy, but especially Diggs. He's right now in fantasy, he's the number one wide receiver. Two huge games. Two games. If you started him, you pretty much won that week. You have to be feeling good about Stephon Diggs right now.
Are you guys worried about Dalvin Cook getting so many touches to start the season out?
He's young.
No, I'm not worried at all.
I'm
not worried at all. I think this is a huge bright spot and a big turning point in the season, in my opinion. To play a team like the Buccaneers that have a formidable run defense at times when they want to. They have some guys that can stop the run up there. To have Dalvin Cook go out there, carry the ball that many times and see success, I think it's huge. To have that combo of Cook and Diggs showing that much success, I am calling it right now. I'm going to go out there and reach. It is week 3 just finished of the NFL season, and I am going to say that the Minnesota Vikings are going to be one of the teams that trade up into the first round of the 2018 NFL draft to get their future quarterback. Calling it right now.
Who? Because they're all playing like shit in college right now. They're all playing terrible.
They need someone, Josh. They have
Teddy Bridgewater. He'll be back.
Oh my God! Come on. I like Teddy Bridgewater more than both of you, but it's not going to happen. They're gonna see the potential. They're gonna see the big arms and some of the rookie quarterbacks from the Darnells, from the Allens, from the Rosens. They're gonna see the big arms out of all those guys. They're gonna trade up with Cook and Diggs. They're gonna prepare for the future. Their defense is already set. They get a big arm. They're a scary team 2 years from now.
They have a big arm. The great Case Keenum.
Yeah. Yeah, who won't
maybe,
be starting.
Maybe
this
he
week.
Is the answer.
No.
We'll see. Next up, we
whoa,
have...
Whoa, 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 whoa.
What?
Talk about how disappointed you were in your Bucks.
Oh, I'm pretty disappointed.
You always stroke them hard when they're up there dominating the Bears.
Pretty disappointed.
Go ahead and freaking stroke them now there, champ.
Just disappointed, that's all. All
right.
Next up, we have the Texans going to the Patriots. Patriots win this game 36-33, a back-and-forth game, and they win the game on a Tom Brady to Brandon Cooks touchdown.
I did not see this game being a shootout between these two teams. I thought the Patriots were going to be able to move the football. I thought Deshaun Watson was going to struggle against Bill Belichick and Matt Patricia and what they normally do against rookie quarterbacks. But that's not what happened in Foxborough. Watson didn't look like a rookie in this game. He had over 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 41 rushing yards. He can move the football, and you have to be happy if you're a Hopkins owner right now. And Watkins getting to the point where you could be starting him. He's put up back-to-back startable games in fantasy football. You have to love the rushing aspect of his game. But big-time game for Brady. Came back, won the game late, but over 400 yards passing, 5 touchdowns. If you had him this week, you won.
Yeah, Brady definitely screwed me in a couple of leagues. We nailed Josh, I believe you predicted Brady would have 5 tutties this week. He didn't quite have the 500 yards that you also predicted. But as great as the Patriots are, I still think a 3-point win over the Texans at home
not good
is worrisome. This Patriots defense is not what we thought they were. I talked them up big time preseason, especially after their draft. They have some serious, serious issues. I don't know. I'm a little bit worried about the Patriots. Obviously, you know, anyone who trashed Brady after week one, they can go and sit down and be humble. Josh's favorite saying. But I don't know. The Patriots are still going to contend, obviously. I still think they win the division, but I don't know.
Yeah, I just thought it was a lot closer game than I thought it was going to be in general. You do not want to go and only win this game by 3 points.
At home?
Yeah.
And have to come back and win this game.
Yeah.
They could have easily lost this game if the Texans scored a late touchdown and got it within 3 points. I could see that, but to see the Patriots have to come back and score a touchdown and then get a 2-point conversion to make it a 3-point lead is crazy.
Yep. Let me ask you guys this. We have Ellington here, who had 7 targets, 4 catches, 59 yards, and a touchdown, with the possibility of Will Fuller coming back this week or next week. Does that boost the confidence of Hopkins even more for you?
He wasn't placed on IR?
No.
Okay.
Idiot. I said that 2 weeks ago.
I know. I'm just making sure that everyone else knows that. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Broken collarbone.
Dick hole. Does it help Hopkins?
Does it help either one?
It helps Hopkins. It helps Watson. It helps Lamar Miller.
Yes.
It helps that whole Texans offense. Absolutely it does. The Texans offensive line still needs to work out some kinks. But listen, putting 33 points up in Foxborough, you can't frown upon that. They were in the game the whole entire way, down 21-20 at halftime. They were going into the fourth quarter down 1 point. You're happy with that if I'm the Texans.
For me, 3 straight weeks, Foreman has looked better than Miller.
Yep.
If you're a Miller owner, you got to be worried. Probably invested a second or third round pick in him, and he's not doing much, and he's getting outplayed right now by a rookie.
Is there any chance that they're going to move away from him anytime soon?
There is, but it's going to be a murky situation. And both guys right now, it'd be hard to really either start either of them.
Let's move on. We have the Dolphins versus the Jets. And what a disappointing game.
What the hell was this game?
Yeah, Dolphins lose this game 6-20.
That was a Jay Cutler game, ladies and gentlemen. That's exactly what that was. That's a Jay Cutler game. On the road, playing down to your competition. The definition of a Jay Cutler game. He should have been. He got outplayed by Josh McCown. Now, to be fair, he didn't have much help on the running side of it. I know, Josh, you tried to scare me over the weekend. Said, oh, J.J. is hurt, blah, blah. He got kicked in the stones, pal. Okay? That's why he was out for a bit. He had to get his air back in him. Didn't matter anyway. He was never actually hurt. 11 carries for 16 yards. Shame on you, J.J. Props to you, New York Jets front seven. Shut him down.
This is why you have to love the NFL, though. Really, anything could happen any given week. Most people really were predicting the Jets to have 0-1 win, and they already have their one win. It's only week 3. Just disappointed with the Dolphins. They should have been able to run the football down the Jets' throats. I thought Ajayi was going to have one of those 25-30 carry games, a buck 50, two tutty type game, and he had 16 yards on like 10 or 11 carries. Despicable game by everyone on the Miami Dolphins offense besides Devontae Parker. He's the real deal right now. Big shout out to Jamal Adams, the rookie safety for the Jets. Looked good out there. Couple tackle for loss, had a sack, and that front seven for the Jets as well.
What is the backfield looking like for the Jets from here on out?
Who freaking knows?
They just worked out, who was it, Tavares Cadet?
Yeah. Powell, he was so effective at the end of last year because he was receiving the football, getting carries as well, but he was getting 5 to 10 targets a game. Now he's not even getting a target, not getting a reception. He was the leading rusher and had a rushing touchdown, but if he's not receiving the football, he doesn't have much value in my eyes right now.
Guys, Matt Forte is potentially injured. He went down in that game, and that's when Bilal Powell had the most success. He led the team in carries. He had a touchdown. I'm not saying you should be starting him, you know, necessarily, but he's a guy to hold on to for bye weeks.
Yes.
He's a guy that still has value. I said last week that it was hard to still, you know, say that you should be, you know, rostering Bilal Powell. And I say that as someone who has been rostering Bilal Powell personally. But this week showed exactly what Powell owners have been waiting for. Matt Forte is not going to be there. And when push comes to shove, Elijah McGuire is not the guy. Bilal Powell is going to find his groove. He's gonna find it. This is kind of where he's been. I fully anticipate that there's still going to be 2 to 3 games throughout the season where he's going to be between 14 and 20 points. Truly believe that.
Next up, we have the Giants going to the Eagles. Eagles win this game 27 to 24 on a 61-yard rookie kicker field goal as time expires. Thoughts on this game? Because that was pretty impressive.
Pretty crazy game. Through the first three quarters, there were only 14 points scored. In the fourth quarter, there were 37, including that miraculous field goal that got him his quarterback's game check as well. I don't know if you guys heard about that.
No.
But awesome rivalry game. Yeah, Wentz told him he would give him his game check if he made the kick, and he ended up making the kick. I don't know if Wentz is going to give it to him, but that was released today. Giants offense, though, looked like that same miserable excuse of an offense for the first three quarters. Then they kind of came alive, looked like that explosive unit that we thought they were going to look like. OBJ finally looked good, when he was peeing as a dog and doing the Black Power shit. But Evan Engram, another game, Jesus over Christ. 40 yards. Three straight, not great, but I'll take it for a rookie tight end. Big-time loss for the Eagles with Darren Sproles.
I don't even know where to start with this.
I don't like racism.
So, okay, that's not racist, but nevertheless, the Eagles, I know, were not happy about Odell Beckham Jr.'s celebration. I'll start with that.
Well, nobody should be happy with that.
Who cares?
The Giants aren't happy with that.
I know they're not. They said all the things. That's not how the Giants act. Who cares?
Suspend them.
Yeah. Suspend them.
Yeah, give them a four-gamer.
They changed the rules for this. You know who loved that? Giants fans who want to talk shit to their Eagle fan friends. This is the NFL. Let it be fun. Do you know how happy I would be if the Bears... Well, if the Bears had someone who could even catch a ball. But if a Bears wide receiver went and did that and peed on a fake peed on a Packers fan, I would think it's hilarious. I would love it. Who cares? Everyone needs to get off of their fucking high horse. This is a game. It's a kid's game. No one cares. Relax. Now to the Eagles.
Suspension.
That kick, amazing. That kick was fantastic. A rookie kicker, 61 yards to win the game. My goodness, that kid's stones must be the size of fucking grapefruits. Props to him. Caleb Sturgis, I hope you enjoy the free agent market, young man, because he ain't coming back.
Really?
Yeah.
You gotta say enjoy the free agent? Oh, man, that's rough.
What about Wendell Smallwood, guys? Look, he was taking a lot of the Darren Sproles role after Sproles, when he break his arm and tear his ACL on the same play.
What a terrible way to go out of the season. You break your arm, tear your ACL on the same exact play. How does that happen? And it's second nuts. Off, yeah. How much pain? You've torn your ACL before.
It doesn't really hurt.
I've never broken my arm before, but I can imagine it hurts a lot. And now you're going to combine the two. But with him, he was also running as well at the same time. So, yeah. I don't know. I can't imagine how that would exactly feel.
Beyond that, is his career over?
It could be.
Well over 30.
Is he 35, 34?
34, yeah, 35. I think he's done.
Broken arm and an ACL. He's come back from nicks and cuts here and there. Throughout when people said he'd be done, but that's a lot. He had to have surgery on both. I think his knee was today and his arms tomorrow, or vice versa.
Sterling Shepard had 10 targets, OBJ 13, Brandon Marshall finally getting some targets his way, 11, caught 8 of those. Evan Engram, he had 7 targets, 5 catches, 45 yards. Are we going to slowly see the Sterling Shepard, Brandon Marshall, Evan Engram targets even out?
What I think is, for fantasy purposes, you need to hold off a year on Evan Engram.
For PPR leagues?
I'm not saying that there's not going to be times where he's valuable, but I feel like there's going to be other guys who are going to be slightly more valuable. With the big names like OBJ, like Sterling Shepard, like Brandon Marshall, it's good to see Engram get his. I believe that's the second straight week with over 4 receptions for him.
He's had it all 3.
All 3? Yep. Okay. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe he is, but I'm just – the Giants are going to be down a lot. They're 0-3 now. No offensive line. They don't have anyone to run the ball, so maybe. Maybe I'll bite my tongue. Pick up Evan Ingram.
For me, we've kind of seen what his floor is right now, and it's really not bad. He's been a number one tight end so far. He's only scored one touchdown. He's getting 7 targets in only his 3rd NFL game. I like him. We look at like a Hunter Henry, who's being started in a lot of leagues right now, being rostered, and he's had 2 games where he hasn't done jack shit, not even scoring you more than 1 point. So Evan Ingram might be kind of safe right now.
Other side of the ball, Zach Ertz, 10 targets, 8 catches, 55 yards, and a touchdown, but he fumbled again.
Zach Ertz is playing like he's going to be the number one tight end for the entire NFL season. The Eagles seem to have it set up that way. It seems like the weapons that were added for Carson Wentz were added strictly to take away defenders from Zach Ertz. That's what it seems like that it happened. And he's fantastic. So props to him. Any Zach Ertz owners out there, Josh, I still think back to our draft day. You're up, and I'm like, all right, I'm either going to get Ertz or Eifert. I'll be happy with either. You take Ertz, and then I take Eifert right after. Man, I really wish that would have gone the other way. So props to you on a good draft there, young man. But props to the Eagles. 2-1, big division win, and the New York Football Giants are – I don't know what they're going to do, in all honesty.
Next up, we have the Saints going to Carolina. And the Saints win this game 34-13. Drew Brees, 223 touchdowns. And my boy Michael Thomas, 7-87 and a touchdown. Ted Ginn, he had an all right game.
Was that? Who had an all right game?
He had a touchdown.
He's okay?
He's okay. Average receiver, but yeah, nothing special.
Mediocre at best.
For me, right now, it's quite obvious Cam Newton isn't fully recovered from his offseason shoulder injury. Panthers got smacked in the mouth this Sunday by a soft team in the New Orleans Saints, in my eyes. Yeah, it was a division rivalry game. You never really know what's going to happen, but they should have won this game. Saints ran the football pretty effectively against one of the better front sevens in football. 27 rushes, 149 yards. All 3 running backs got a decent amount of looks. But right now, for me, it's blatantly obvious that AP is the worst running back out of these 3. Ingram's looking pretty good, looking pretty much averaging the same numbers that he had last year that got him as a top or number one running back besides the touchdowns. And Kamara looks like a beast. Absolutely love him right now in PPR formats. Right now, he's got the same amount of targets in the passing game as Le'Veon Bell. You have to love that in PPR.
Anyone who, to kind of beat a dead horse here and Tom's point, anyone who's in any sort of dynasty or keepers league, if Alvin Kamara is in the free agency market, pick him up. Because the longer the season goes on, listen, this is a great win for the Saints. I kind of saw this coming. His role is only going to improve. Ingram seems to be the guy in terms of rushes. Alvin Kamara is going to have his role, the Darren Sproles role, if you would. He's going to be a big factor there. He's going to have his plays regardless of what Ingram and Peterson do. He's a guy to own. He's a guy to have, specifically if you are in PPR and or key performance.
Christian McCaffrey on the other side. Ooh. 9 catches, 101 yards on 11 targets, and 4 rushes for 16 yards.
Is he just a receiver now, Josh?
I can tell you this.
Pulling your collar away. Scratching.
I can tell you this. He certainly can be. Because, well, he ran some wide receiver routes, but that was not a lot of his catches. A lot of his catches were from out of the backfield. So if you watched his highlights, you watched the game, I think he ran 3-4
times.
Three or four routes as a wide receiver, and the rest of the catches that he had were out of the backfield, either a screen or a block and, you know, out to the flat. A lot of them are out to the flats and a couple arrow routes. So I'm very curious to see what they do with him. Could he be a wide receiver? I think he could, especially with Benjamin being hurt. If Benjamin's hurt, then why not throw him out there and see what he's got? Because then you still got Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel can easily still fill that running back role, I guess, that Christian McCaffrey is serving. A little bit different, but he still can.
Got a wide receiver playing running back playing wide receiver. The Panthers, they should be embarrassed. They should really be embarrassed that they couldn't put up more points on that soft, S-A-W-F-T secondary of the Saints, having homeless people try out for DB, and the freaking Panthers can't put up more points at home, nonetheless. Disgusting, filthy, dirty.
Homeless people?
They were! They were homeless people! They have no one playing DB right now. Name a DB on the Saints.
Cam Newton's not good right
Kenny
now.
Kenny Vaccaro.
That's not a person.
Marshawn Lattimore. I'm pretty
Kenny Vaccaro was a Lucy's husband on I Love Lucy.
Next up, we have the Seahawks losing to the Titans 33-27. Wilson finally has a good game. 373 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 7 rushes for 26 yards. Doug Baldwin, 10 for 105 and a touchdown. Jimmy Graham finally comes to life, 7 for 72. But my boy Chris Carson, he out-touched everybody again in the backfield. 11 carries, 34 yards, 2 catches, 18 yards, and a touchdown. Eddie Lacy dressed, did not play. And Thomas Rawls dressed, 1 play on offense.
Overall, this was a big-time test for the Titans in my eyes. Seahawks, they're a good football team with a very good defense, and the Titans played the game that they needed to play, and they beat the Seahawks. Titans ran the football 35 times, more rushing attempts than passing attempts, and averaged 5.6 yards per carry. That's Tennessee Titan football right there. Henry and Murray pretty much split the carries, but Murray broke a long touchdown run that made the game a little more dominant fantasy-wise for him, but it's going to be ugly between these two for the rest of the year. Look, I think Murray had one more rushing attempt than Henry. You can't like that if you are a DeMarco Murray owner, but I'd be worried if I had either of those guys, and I would be trying to get rid of them right now.
The story of this game was Richard Sherman.
Ooh,
that hit he put on Marcus Mariota was one of the dirtiest hits I've ever seen. He should be suspended.
It was almost as dirty as Von Miller, what he did to Tyrod Taylor.
No, Von Miller was clean as clean could be. I'm watching it again right now. Richard Sherman, blatantly out of bounds, blatantly right to the head. Just a dirty, dirty hit. He should be suspended. I believe he got penalized like 2 or 3 times for that hit. That is everything that is wrong with the NFL right now. In terms of the game, I mean, if you're the Seahawks, all your worst fears are coming true. You signed 47 running backs coming into this season in hopes that one of them would be healthy for each week. It's slowly happening, but you still have 0 offensive linemen. You only have Doug Baldwin, and you don't know what's going to happen. It's just it's a good win for the Titans. Obviously, it's in Tennessee, so it's different than if it were in Seattle. But Seahawks now, outside of their home field, I don't know if they're going to win a game this year, in all honesty.
DeMarco Murray, he had 14 rushes, 115 yards, and a touchdown. Derrick Henry, 13 for 54. Is it safe to say DeMarco Murray still is the guy for the Tennessee Titans?
Not really.
Nope.
If you take that 75-yard or whatever touchdown away from Murray, their numbers are almost identical. So, both equally effective, but it's not really safe to say that he's the guy and that he should be considered a running back one right now.
Yeah, I still like Derrick Henry, in all honesty, especially like 2 weeks from now. I love Derrick Henry.
Yeah, the Bengals going to the Packers. Packers win this game in overtime, 27-24.
Bengals showed up, and they played some decent football this week. The new offensive coordinator, Bill Lazor, for the Bengals gave Joe Mixon the ball 21 times, and Joe Mixon got over 100 total yards, exactly what we've been calling for. He is the best running back on the Bengals right now. Right now, I'm feeling comfortable telling people, start Joe Mixon from now on. Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill will be fighting for leftovers, and Mixon will be getting close to 20 touches every week, and he's going to find the end zone eventually. But big props to Carl Lawson in this game. He's, I believe, a fourth-round edge rusher that the Bengals drafted. He was making Aaron Rodgers' life a living hell for this game. Ended up with 2.5 sacks, numerous pressures, and quarterback hits. Great game for him. He's one of my draft darlings. Good to see him doing something great on the field. But kind of nuts, this was the first overtime game Aaron Rodgers has ever won. 0-7 before this game.
I told everyone that this was a bye week for the Packers. Not the best advice. Obviously, the Bengals showed up, realized that 0-2 was bad. I also said that this was the week for Joe Mixon. That's what I told our friend, former host of the show, Mike. Told him that this was the week for Joe Mixon, and it absolutely was. It sure was. You saw the signs in their terrible week two. He's the guy at this point going forward. That's it. End of story. For the Packers, props to them. They did what they had to do to get it done. I think the Packers are in for a little bit of a scare this coming week, but we will talk about that a little bit later. It is what it is, though.
That's not an ideal start. But, yeah, Joe Mixon, I think, like you said, Tom, he should be hitting that 20 touches range pretty much from here on out. Any ideas on what you think with Ty Montgomery? He was banged up a little bit during this game. Is he still, I mean, he's getting 8 receptions a game. I mean, ridiculous this game. Eight receptions, only 15 yards, but those still count as points.
You still have to start him. Right now, he's dominating overall snaps for the Packers, dominating touches. Jamal Williams, the running back 2 for the Packers, only got 1 carry this week. Look good. Got 6 yards, so averaging 6 yards per carry against the Bengals, not bad. But right now, Montgomery's the guy, and he's that versatile running back who's on the field all the time. It makes him extremely valuable, especially in PPR.
PPR, you are starting Ty Montgomery standard, or
you still have to start him in standard.
No,
you're nuts.
I don't know.
Nuts.
Nevertheless, what are your thoughts on Geronimo Allison? 6 receptions, 122 yards.
Fluke.
All right. Just making sure.
Yeah, a lot of it came off that that last play. 70, what was it?
Still had 6 yards, receptions.
72 yards.
I wouldn't be picking him up.
Yeah, I wouldn't waste.
A roster spot.
A roster spot on that, to be honest.
Fair enough.
That's just me. Let's go ahead and move on to the next game, Chiefs and Chargers, and the Chiefs win this game 24-10. What are the Chargers needing to do?
Hey, props to the Chargers. They didn't lose by missing a field goal this week. I feel like that's a big win for them. I don't know what the Chargers need to do. That was it's a tough loss for them, obviously a division rival. The Chiefs are good, guys. Chiefs are really, really good. Kareem Hunt apparently is the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's just going to go out there and dominate in every facet of the football game. And Alex Smith is going to be able to just sit back and do Alex Smith-type things. I mean, you go and you look at this game and you say, wow, okay, Alex Smith, 155 yards and 2 touchdowns, and you guys win by 14. Okay, that's the Kansas City Chiefs-type game. No picks. He was still sacked 5 times, and it didn't matter. So, Phillip Rivers, I guess that's just like Jay Cutler. It's a Phillip Rivers game. 3 picks. He's either going to have 3 or 4 touchdowns or multiple picks or a little bit of each. He only 237, 3 picks. That's why they lost the game. End of story.
Yeah, pretty ugly game overall. Alex Smith only had 21 passing attempts the whole game. Tim, you brought up the 5 sacks. They were kind of just killing the clock. They started off with a big 14-point lead in the first quarter. Kareem Hunt right now might be the MVP in the NFL and your fantasy MVP. 10.1 yards per rush in this game, and his third straight game with a scoring play over 50 yards. Absolutely crazy. Big-time disappointment in this game, Travis Kelce. 1 target, 1 catch, 1 yard.
Yeah, he hosed me in quite a few leagues.
Not good, but that's what's going to happen when the Chiefs are up big. And, well, not even big, but if they have a lead, they're just going to play this kind of pansy, kill-the-clock football. You know?
It's,
It's not fun. It's not good for it's good for the Chiefs, but it's not good for fantasy owners, especially people who invested a third or fourth round pick in Mr. Travis Kelce.
Sunday Night Football, Raiders going to the Redskins. Redskins win this game 27-10.
What an utterly disappointing game for the Raiders. Through the first 2 weeks, it looked like one of those elite teams in the NFL. And the Redskins came out and whooped them on national television. They pulled their pants down and spanked them for four quarters. The Redskins were the big-time bullies in this football game. Their defense shut down every part of the Raiders' game plan and offense and made Derek Carr extremely uncomfortable all game. Chris Thompson, he might be the MVP for the Redskins right now. This dude, back-to-back games, being the catalyst for this offense, making huge plays, and just being a complete difference maker, might be approaching that must-start category in PPR formats right now.
So, to me, it's pretty simple. You go across country, and I understand that you have a ton of faith in your quarterback, but you go across country, and you have 11 rushes, not including your quarterback. 11. That's your problem. I don't care what you want to say about the pace of the game or whatever. It was still only 14-0 at halftime. Still close enough. Marshawn Lynch, 6 carries. That is not enough. That is not enough at all. Cross-country road trips, you have to do something to slow the game down, keep that defense off the field, and do something. Just do something. Amari Cooper, Michael Crabtree were embarrassed. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple, embarrassed. The key guy in the secondary for the Redskins.
Norman. Josh Norman.
Josh Norman, I don't know if you heard his rant, Tom. I played it for Josh earlier. Josh Norman's rant about, them coming in. I believe it was Cooper saying he was going to put up 200 yards on that Washington secondary. He was pissed. He was fired up. Redskins secondary and back seven, for that matter, look for real. They're playing some really good football right now, and you have Kirk Cousins at the helm.
Terrell Pryor, he had 2 catches, 19 yards on 4 targets. Dare I say that all of his production last year was a product of a weak Cleveland supporting cast to go along with him, and that's why they force-fed him the ball. And now him coming here to the Redskins, it's a little bit more evenly distributed in a sense. Is that what we're kind of seeing here?
In a sense, yes. He's still going to get his. It's early. Remember, everyone, it's only week 3. But yes, people are focusing on him right now. People are paying attention to him right now because of how much he was absolutely force-fed. Josh, there's no doubt about it. But take into consideration as well, this is a team that is with Chris Thompson and Samaje Perine. They ran the ball decent, 27 carries for, 87 yards. Not great by any means, but they spread the ball out in an offense without Jordan Reed. This is Kirk Cousins to a T proving, hey, guess what? You think it costs you a lot of money to keep me this year? Just wait to see how much it's going to keep me next year. Spread the ball out everywhere. Chris Thompson, 6 receptions. Vernon Davis, 5 receptions. Jamison Crowder, 6 receptions. Another 2-3 guys with multiple receptions. This is Kirk Cousins' team. This game was a product of Kirk Cousins. That's it.
Last game of the week, Cowboys versus Cardinals. Cowboys win this 28-17.
Kind of reminded me of that Denver game starting off last week for the Cowboys. It started real slow. Arizona was able to control the line of scrimmage and kind of force some quick 3-and-outs for Dallas and made Zeke Elliott in that run game look very pedestrian. But they picked it up in the second quarter. In the second half, they were able to run the football. A couple big-time runs by Zeke and absolutely amazing effort touchdown by Dez Bryant. Was on a short crossing pattern and pretty much dragged 3 or 4 guys into the end zone. Shouldn't have scored on that play. But Patrick Peterson, for the first half, held Dez Bryant to -3 yards. And that touchdown pretty much saved Dez Bryant's fantasy day. It was a rough start of the year for Dez, but it's going to get definitely a lot easier. He's not facing that elite-level cornerback anymore, I don't think, till week 7 or 8 when he faces Norman again. But be happy that the stretch is over with if you're a Dez Bryant owner.
I was a big fan of the DeMarcus Lawrence coming out party. Three sacks for him looked fantastic. Larry Fitzgerald showing, hey, you know what? Age really isn't a number. I believe he passed Marvin Harrison on the all-time receptions list. That's good for him.
Let me ask you guys this after you said that. Is he going to be done after this year? Has he come out and said that he's done after this year?
He hasn't.
And honestly, I don't know. I think it's going to depend a lot on Carson Palmer. I would assume that Palmer would be done after this year. Especially, like, just looking at this, I get David Johnson is out, but Carson Palmer threw the ball 48 times.
His arm's going to fall off.
That's obnoxious. That's absolutely obnoxious. 21 carries, so you're talking about under 20 carries if you don't include Carson Palmer's rushes. That's dumb. 18 carries out of your running backs? You're not going to win games that way. You're absolutely just not going to win games that way. And, I mean, I'm happy for Larry Fitzgerald. 13 receptions, good for him, 149 yards. Larry Fitzgerald, owners around the world are excited. But the Cardinals are who we think the Cardinals are going to be without David Johnson.
Thoughts? Anything else?
Nope.
All right.
Great week of football overall.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy week. I think I went 8-8 for the week. It was a tough. I went with some upsets. Hit on some, missed on some. That Detroit loss definitely hurt me. The Broncos being screwed by officiating against the Bills screwed me. The Bears pretending like they can play football. I mean, but this is the NFL.
Yep.
Week 3 of the 2017 season defined what the NFL is. Teams that shouldn't be winning football games won. Get over it.
Yeah, how did we all do in that? You had 8-8.
I was 8-8. I believe
7-9.
Yeah, you had the most wins, Josh, in 9, and I believe you are tied with waitress Amanda. We'll make sure to give her a pinch on the tush. actually, she is leading right now. Waitress Amanda has 29 total. Josh, you tied her for the week and not with 9. I am. You and I are at 28 overall. Tom is at 25. Tom's having a rough start to this
tanking
2017 season in all aspects.
Yeah, really, really, really rough start, but he can always come back. So, all right, everybody, that's all we have for you. Hope you enjoyed this episode. It pretty much recap and kind of our reactions of week number 3 in the NFL. And again, we are Pony Kick Sports. You guys can follow us on Twitter at Pony Kick Sports, at Pony Kick Tom, at Pony Kick Tim. Email us, ponykicksports@gmail.com. Also, get in on that Le'Veon Bell signed autographed jersey giveaway. Send us your fantasy questions. Get entered in for the drawing. For Tom and Tim and myself, thanks a lot. We'll see you next time.